Dr. Donna, and I'm here with Sophie, and we are going to talk about canine anxiety. I bet we went to the local health food pet store, and it was like a whole row of products for anxiety, and I feel like everyone in Washington State is doing some type of CBD for their dog for this problem. But you can see Sophie has anxiety, and just some basic symptoms of anxiety, in case, you know, I'm sure you probably know them, but it'd be excessive panting, sometimes drinking a lot, urinating a lot, and basically whining, crying. A lot of anxiety has to do with the person and the dog, and it's like it kind of, sometimes there's a vicious cycle with that. And so it's really important. I kind of established some things here I thought that would be really helpful for people. And I think you can medicate dogs for anxiety using all kinds of medications that they have now, which would have potential side effects. You can use CBD and other products like that. You can use other herbs. But if you can use diet and nutrition and lifestyle changes and training techniques, that is the best. It's just the best, obviously. There's fewer side effects. There's gonna be a couple things in here that I think that you've maybe never heard of, or at least I've never heard anyone talk about them, and it makes a huge difference, because we've been working on Sophie's anxiety at our house, and it's really gotten better because of a couple of things that maybe aren't intuitive. So let's just go through them. I call it the Dapper approach to anxiety, which I just kind of thought of the other day. The D stands for distance. So what we do a lot of times is when a dog whines or cries, what we generally do with that is we go to the dog. You know, they whine and cry, and we go, no. Even if we go, no, we're still going to the dog. We're kind, caring people, so we don't want them to whine and cry. So we think if we go to them, that will stop their whining and crying. And it might temporarily, but it's going to basically train them to whine and cry and be more anxious. So establishing a distance is really important, healthy distance. So that means, and basically them being with you is a reward. So So what we did at our house was we established a couple of different tie-down systems, which sounds kind of mean, but it's not. It's actually really kind. So dogs only know comfort. They basically look to us for comfort. They look to their boundaries. They look to rules. They want to know all of that. And if they don't know that, it makes them anxious. So a tie-down system is simply, and we'll show a picture of it too, but is simply a system where you're tying them, but with all their creature comforts, their bed, a Kong stuffed with peanut butter, almond butter, their favorite toy, water, and so they're in this wonderful little system, and it's at a place in the house where there's a lot of activity. So we have a covered porch so she can be outside, but still we come and go like constantly, and it's only when we're there that we do this, and we don't do it all the time. But it basically means that you can put her on a tie down and tell her, good dog, so she knows she's really, really good, even though she's not with you, she's not on top of you. So it's so vital. So then what you do is, she's tired. So as soon as they whine and cry, you ignore them. You basically just, it's not a no, you don't say no, you don't say yes, you just ignore them. It's like they never even existed. But as soon as they turn away from you, or they lay in their bed, or they start to chew on their Kong, or lick at their Kong, yeah, good. You reward them with your voice from a distance. So you go, good girl, Sophie, that's so good. You're looking on your Kong. That's great. You didn't even know what a Kong was maybe a little bit ago. So that's wonderful. So establishing distance is important. And then when you want to, when the dog is being really good, like this would be a good moment, she's not panting, she's not hyperventilating, she's not whining or crying, then you can bring her to you. You know, take her off the tie down and bring her in with that in the house. So so important, and I just cannot overemphasize this enough. You feel mean at first, but after a few days, you'll see a big difference with the dog. They'll understand that you're not only in charge, but also that there's rules to be with you. The dog has to be appropriate. They can't be screaming, crying, biting, whatever they're doing. The second thing I want to talk about is diet. And just because it started with A, aromatherapy. So amino acids, I listed the amino acids that are known to help anxiety. That's good, isn't it? Good. So theanine, tryptophan, taurine. Taurine helps anxiety, I know. Thiamine, other B vitamins. B vitamins are very important because there's also L-glutamine that's not on this list. And magnesium. The B vitamins help the amino acids cross the blood-brain barrier. But if you give your dog organic raw liver, you're already giving all of these. And if it's a turkey liver, that's even better. So in other words, getting it from the diet would be really essential. A little dog like this, she would only need 2 teaspoons of organic liver a day. So good nutrition, you can't say enough about it, but if you feed kibble or you feed a commercial pet food where the amino acids have been altered and they're not well absorbed and there's no B vitamins to help with their absorption, your dog may be anxious just from the diet that you're feeding. Let me see, I've got Sophie's diet right here. This is what Sophie eats. It's just cooked bison, raw vegetables, vitamins, and calcium and magnesium. So, you hungry? No? Because she's eating so much today. Okay, we'll put that to the side. Oh, maybe later. The next thing, aromatherapy. I just put one drop of, this is a lavender oil, but there's all kinds of other essential oils that you can use. Lang Lang's really good, rose, and you just put one drop, rose is expensive, on the ear, so you put one drop on each ear, good, and then when she shakes her head, she gets aromatherapy. Generally, you don't want to put, she's like, you don't want to put aromatherapy, we're not jumping down, we're going to stay in our bed, good, she didn't want aromatherapy, okay, wait, she's never had it before, probably. So generally, you just need one drop on each ear. That's it. And then they will give them, and for some dogs that makes all the difference. I'm just gonna try to get her attention on something else. Good girl. So positive interactions, that's the next one. So you don't wanna approach the dog when the dog is whining or crying. You wanna approach the dog when they're calm. And that way you're not telling them no, or bad dog, or anything crazy like that. All kinds of things people do. You're just approaching them when they're good. So that interaction is positive, but also the interaction the interactions of going to the vet or grooming. If there's something you know your dog doesn't like, then your responsibility is to train them so they like it, which usually involves food, and that's a whole other discussion, but training for medical procedures is really important. It might just involve a Kong with some almond butter. So basically, I just want to make sure she doesn't fall off. This promotes self-soothing. So the dog needs to know how to soothe themselves. They can't get their soothing from you, because what if you're not there? That causes separation anxiety. I mean, we are causing a lot of these problems ourselves. The dogs are just being dogs. So anyway, exercise. Exercise would probably be at the top of the list, except for I couldn't figure out a good mnemonic for it. Okay, that's good, yeah. So 3 miles a day of walking, which means you're walking with your dog 3 miles a day. Ideally, you're not just going to an off-leash dog park or throwing the ball in the backyard, although that can be fine for some dogs. It can also be really hard on their backs and their bodies because of all the twisting action. At a dog park, you're not always sure about other dogs, and you want to make sure all your interactions are positive. Good girl. So reducing treats. So this is the thing. Treats are fine, but people have taken it to an all-time excessive point. You do not need to give your dog a treat for going to the bathroom. I mean, maybe when they're puppies, but then they know now. You know, once they know about potty training, you don't need to give them any more treats. So reducing treats and just making it from your voice. So if I like what the dog is doing, I'm going to go, good, that's really good. And it's really obvious that I'm happy about it. Like right now, she wants to look at the floor like she wants to jump down, but I'm going to try to distract her, think about something else. And then when she's not thinking about jumping down, that's when I'm going to tell her, good dog. So, I mean, it's just an example, but... So it's just every time we give them food, we amp them up, we make them more anxious. They can't really think straight, because if you think about the pack that they would be, like the wolf pack, I mean, a Havanese doesn't probably belong to a wolf pack, but if they did, they still have some instincts in there, and the instincts are none of the leaders in the wolf pack gave them treats. I mean, you know, so that's just like a whole human thing. And it really becomes a problem, in my estimation, because dogs don't learn to understand voice control and to understand voice positive. There is no other like positive, you know, training going on. It's all just food. And some food is okay, and we certainly need it to mark certain behaviors, but I think we've just taken it to an all-time level, and it's creating its own anxiety. The dog wants the food all the time. Doesn't necessarily want to please you for the sake of pleasing you. So anyway, that's my approach to canine anxiety. I hope it helps everyone, and there's a lot of other things to talk about with it, but maybe that'll help for some of the dogs. And Sophie says, you don't have to be so anxious.